Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Monday as we start a new week here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, all with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee, and that is a great service department that is there for you. Simply gets it done for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with all the good stuff for your current vehicle and for your new vehicle. You have a sales staff that's not just there for the sale, but they're there for you. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, RV, boat for this time of the year. All your insurance matters, they have you covered, and they are there to protect you for what matters most. They are the true pros when it comes to insurance needs, and it's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. And of course, we'll be teaming up with them once again this year for this year's Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be on Wednesday, August 10th. And make sure you sign up for that ASAP, because that always goes fast. So we certainly look forward to that. Always at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We'll do some golf, and then we'll be doing the show live 3 to 5 that day from the country club. So looking forward to that coming up in August. But in terms of today's show, another big show to start off the week. Ray Dittinger just announced his retirement. I think that was last weekend. After covering the Eagles for more than 50 years, he lived the epitome of living out a dream, covering his favorite football team for more than 50 years and seeing the team's first Super Bowl championship and getting to celebrate that with his son a couple years ago. So he is done in his retirement. And he'll join us today at 3:35 to talk about that. And also, he's got a new play coming out, which dates to his time when he first met Tommy McDonald. Of course, the former Philadelphia Eagle great. And that is a play called Tommy and Me. That's going to be playing at the Hershey Theater, I believe, in October. They just had the announcement for that on Friday in Hershey. So we'll talk to him about that as well. And, of course, about the current team, which made some headlines over the weekend, not for anything that they did, but interestingly enough, Peter King, of course, our good buddy from NBC Sports and Football Morning in America, he had his weekly column out today, and he put the Eagles in the top 10 for his 2022 power rankings that he does every year. So, obviously, Peter King is very high on what the Eagles did this offseason. Only the Bucks and the Rams and one other team are ahead of them in the power rankings. 49ers were behind them. So only five NFC teams in the top 10 for Peter King. And the Eagles are number 9. So that's interesting. Didn't quite expect that, but we'll see if that comes to fruition this year. Other Eagles-related news that I saw, I did see today, too. Nick Foles reuniting with the Colts reuniting with Frank Reich in Indy to join the Colts today to back up Matt Ryan, which is no surprise there after he left Chicago. And I guess there was a report in there, too, that Howie Roseman was talking to Nick Foles on a possible comeback again, which would have been his third time with the team. And you know what? Someone tweeted out that they're glad that that didn't happen, hoping to show no disrespect. And I don't think I think that's exactly right. There's no disrespect in this, because I agree as well to what he did for the city. But bringing him back as a backup would be a mistake, considering what the things that happened with Carson Wentz. Of course, you can't blame a lot of that on Nick. Mostly that's Carson, but we're still trying to figure out the quarterback situation, maybe with Jalen Hurts. This is his make-or-break year. Having Nick Foles overlooking over his shoulder, probably not the best idea. Plus, Gardner Minshew did the job last year when he had to fill in. So I think that was a good non-move there. Let Nick Foles go ahead with Frank Reich and backup Matt Ryan in Indianapolis. Those are some interesting thoughts there. Now, as far as the PGA Championship goes, of course, we had Jerry Dulac here on Friday. He almost called it. He said Will Zalatoris was due, and he was due, and he was almost there before things kind of fell for him a little bit. And Max Pieria, too, of course, things really fell apart for him in the latter stages of the final round yesterday. But then, just what a tremendous comeback story for Justin Thomas, winning his second major, which is also his second PGA in 5 years, and having the third largest comeback in PGA Tour and PGA Championship history, down 7 shots, comes back and wins it. I mean, he was just calm, cool, and collected with phenomenal shot after phenomenal shot in his final few holes there. I mean, the shot to make it on 18 to get in contention, and then the tremendous tee shot to get on the green on 17 during the playoff hole, which, of course, sets him up to take the birdie and take the lead. And it was, I thought, yeah, that was another good weekend for the PGA there, Steve.
In the end, yes. In the end, yes. Yeah. I mean, great. I mean, really a mixed bag for you. Total mixed bag.
No, I'm happy with everything. Yeah, Tiger had a withdraw. No. Oh, man. What are you going to do?
I mean, Tiger withdraws.
It really was a shame, honestly.
You're happy. And then Josh Donaldson had to talk to the media. So, I mean, other than that, I think things went really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a great weekend for the Yankees, but it's all right.
I mean, there's something wrong with your organization.
Well, Josh Donaldson's a dope for saying that. Like, just, dude, stop.
He speaks highly of you.
He's playing well, but, like, dude, there's a time where you just need to keep things to yourself and shut your mouth. Just, not that saying it had anything to do with what the White Sox did last night in particular. Of course, Tim Anderson hit the 3-run bomb to blow the game open, but whatever. You're going to have off weekends. It's a long season. It happens.
It is?
But what Josh Donaldson said was very dumb.
It is a long season?
It is, in fact.
I don't think I've ever said that on the show, have I? As for the PGA, part of what makes gets people going in terms of interest on a golf tournament is, what's the leaderboard? We spent yesterday, for the most part, looking at a leaderboard that, quote, was not attractive. How about that? It was kind of going along because, McIlroy falls back. Justin Thomas, to his credit, was 7 back, so he wasn't on the leaderboard for a long time. Then he just kind of kept working his way up. And it wasn't what you would call an exciting leaderboard. And all of a sudden, then at the end, Pereira makes the big mistake. I don't know if it's a big mistake of hitting driver there. He hit driver there all week, so he hit it again. He just, you know, he hit it and it rolled in, into the creek, like square into the middle of it. Okay. And then at that point, everything kind of fell apart. This does go to the thought process of backing in. And I always say, backed into what? You play 72 holes. So you're saying that he lost the tournament, but didn't Thomas on what hole was it? Was it six? Shank one? But because it was on six and not 18? What? I don't know. That's what gets, and I always hear that stuff, and I'll sit back and go, nah, that's not really how it works. Hey, Max Troutman's in running the show today. Maxie, good to have you on board.
Thank you. Know, thank you. Appreciate
great
it.
Great to have you here, Max.
That's good to be here, for sure.
It's great to I mean, suddenly out of nowhere, this is the first time I've felt secure on the show in a while.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
If that doesn't welcome you to the show, Max, nothing will.
Could be felt more welcome right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, Max is a Phillies fan. He just saw the Wild win yesterday at Citizens Bank Park. He's a Sixers fan. He's a Seahawks fan, which is interesting, but he's Flyers. And, of course, he's a Penn State fan, so... It's a good
there
fit.
There you go, Max. There yeah. you go, Max. Yep. You'll fit in when it comes. I mean, it's, but you're a Seahawks fan, so you're not an Eagles fan.
Well, they're like the Eagles of the West. It's always the it's similar, you know.
Yeah, but you've had an A plus quarterback as opposed to a C plus one.
Well, I'm not.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
We have about a D minus quarterback right now. So.
Well, you got Drew Lock now. And there seems to be a lot of confidence that Drew can get it done. All right, so oh, DK Metcalf is sitting there going, "Am I going to get a second contract?" I mean, I'm hoping. We got Ray Dininger on the show today. We have Nate Bauer on the show today. We were trying to get Josh Donaldson on the show. That ain't going to work.
I may have to hit the dump on it a couple of times if we were going to do that, so that's a no.
This is your guy. This is Captain. This is Captain Spider Tack.
Yeah, this is embarrassing.
Dang. It's your guy. Then Tim Anderson goes out and shuts up everybody.
He did.
All right. Got a lot to talk about on the show today. I'm glad Max is here. You know, I'm glad you're a Phillies fan, Max. That's, you know, I think that's great. Big win yesterday. Gene Segura getting a big hit to win it for them. And that's great. The Pirates yesterday, let's go good news and then bad news, and bad news. The good news is the Pirates scored four runs. The bad news is it was all off Yadier Molina, the catcher. The other bad news is they gave up 18 runs. And the other bad news is they gave up two home runs to a 90-year-old guy. So other than that.
But they still won a game after, still despite getting no hit.
Yeah, but you know what's happened, though, to be honest with you? You know something? The Pirates right now are four games up on the Reds. That's not a big gap. The Pirates have settled into being the Pirates. They're now playing 400 baseball. Every once in a while, just for a couple jollies, look at the standings, not just at your team.
I try.
You, actually, you don't. I mean, I mean, the Twins are playing 6'10 baseball. Have you ever talked about them? No.
Yeah, but I already knew the Twins were mediocre at best, so there you go.
They're playing 6'10 baseball.
Yeah, they're playing good right now, but I need to see more from them.
The Mets.
Oh, yeah, I knew about the Mets.
Despite all the injuries, they got their two top pitchers out. And by the way, bad news about Chad Green, and that is, I hate when I hear stuff like that. Tommy John surgery. And I think Chad Green's a good pitcher, by the way. Always have liked Chad Green as a pitcher. I feel awful that he's needs Tommy John. It's a bad, you know, it's not like where he fits in with the Yankees and the whole thing. Although I find it interesting, the Yankees aren't using Chapman to close. Have you noticed that?
Well, can't really say I blame him with the way he's pitched lately.
Well, no. Look, we're in a Babe Ruth baseball game. I don't pick him to close. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So I took about 10 minutes yesterday, and I watched about 10 minutes of the qualifying for the Indianapolis 500. I had to stop because there was one car going around in a circle, and it was one car going around in a circle. we're done.
You know what? I actually did not watch a single minute.
And guess what? Based on the ratings, you weren't alone.
I was all PGA in baseball yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, look at he's in the short jersey. He's going to. I got it. It's going fast. I got it. So, like, a whole bunch of people that won't win the race are running fast now by themselves. Okay, I got it. I could hear the corner office now. I hate this show!
Most likely, yes.
Now, on Sunday, will I watch the race? Yes. On Sunday, I will watch the race. Watching qualifying is the equivalent of watching the third preseason game.
I think the third preseason game's a little bit better, but that's just me.
No. Remember, with the third preseason game is now what used to be the fourth preseason game.
I know, but still.
No. The fourth preseason game, nobody plays. Right? In fact, the fourth preseason game are all the guys Doug Whaley thinks should be playing in the game. Doug, no. Doug, no. Really, nice job.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. They'll do everything they can to save you money and make sure you're fully insured. Insurance has never been more important. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. It is great to have with us on the show one of the all-time greats in this profession or any profession, Ray Dininger. Ray, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. It's always great to be back with you. How you doing?
Doing great. The play Tommy and Me, obviously, it's going to be going to the Hershey Theater. I want to see, in August, is that what it's going to be? I
think August 18th. Yeah, we're going to do three performances, August 18th, 19th, and 20th. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's a story of me and Tommy McDonald and our lifelong, our lifelong relationship, which started, and the most exciting part about the whole thing is by bringing it to Hershey, we're actually bringing it back to where it all began, because
right.
Hershey was where the Eagles had their training camp in the 1950s, and Hershey was where I first met Tommy when I was a 10-year-old kid with an autograph book, and Tommy was a rookie with the Eagles, and that was where we met. I asked for his autograph. He handed me his helmet, asked me to walk him to the practice field. That was how we met, and 1998, the two of us were standing together on the steps of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It was quite a journey.
Yeah, it is an incredible journey, and to have it come to life in theaters and so forth, what is that like for you to have that story told?
It's beyond wonderful. It really is. I just always felt that it was a unique story. I don't know that there's anyone quite like it, that a little boy, a 10-year-old boy, looking up to his football hero, actually develops a relationship and a friendship with him over time. And then later on, when I became a sports writer, that I found myself in a position where I could kind of lead the charge to try and get Tommy into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, then when it finally happens in 1998, he turns around and says, "I want you to be my presenter." And we get to take that ride through the streets of Canton and stand on the steps of the Hall of Fame side by side. You know, the little 10-year-old kid from Hershey and the all-pro wide receiver reunited at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a wonderful story, and I always wanted to write it. I always just thought it was a really nice, feel-good kind of story that people would enjoy. And I had never written a play before, but I thought, well, let me give it a try. The story is so good that the story really just kind of tells itself. I mean, you don't have to be Eugene O'Neill to turn this into a good play. So we wrote it, we staged it, and Steve, this is going to be the seventh year that this play has run in various
yes.
theaters all around the area. But I always hoped that one day we would bring it back to Hershey, and now we finally will.
In fact, I think Ross Tucker's going to be there one night. Ernie Accorsi. Of course, Ernie has great connections up here at Penn State. He's going to be
yep.
a part of it another night, which is really great. This is... is it fair to say this is not just a story about friendship, but about loyalty and a lifelong journey? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's totally fair. That's exactly what it is. I mean, people sometimes see the advertising and they see the pictures of Tommy, you know, in his Eagles uniform, where they know kind of who Tommy is, and they think it's a play about football, and it is to some degree, but I think it's really a much larger story, and it's really a story about. It's a story about relationships and dreams coming true, and I think that's the beauty of it, because every show ends with a Q&A. We end every performance mm-hmm. by bringing the actors and the director and myself on the stage, and we field questions from the audience. And almost every performance, there's always somebody in the audience that says, you know, I wasn't all that excited about coming to this play because I'm not a football fan, I don't root for the Eagles, and I never even heard of Tommy McDonald. But I love this story. It's just such a beautiful story of this little boy and his hero and this life's journey that they took that I had tears in my eyes at the end. We hear that all the time. So, you know, that's kind of what I tell people. You know, you don't have to be... You know, I always stand in the back of the theater, Steve, and I see the people come through the door. And the people mm-hmm. that come through and they're wearing, like, Eagles jerseys and the face paint, I don't worry about them. I got them already, okay? I mean, I'm not worried about whether they're going to enjoy this. I know they will. But it's the other people, you know, just the theater-goers, the subscribers, the people that aren't football fans. When they come in and you see them drawn into the story, and at the end they're jumping up for the standing ovation and they've got tears in their eyes, you know, that's when you know as a storyteller you've really accomplished something. And that happens every night. And I know it's going to go double in Hershey because there's that connection there. I mean, so much of the story is built around Hershey and the town of Hershey and that era in the 1950s when pro football really did come to Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's a big part of the story, and I think people are really going to enjoy that.
Yeah, no question. Now, being a sports writer and breaking into the business, did you have people tell you, "Oh, geez, Ray, I mean, you sure you want to do that? There aren't many jobs." Did you ever hear that along the way? Because then I'm going to link it to Tommy here at one point.
Oh, sure. Yeah, all the time. Yeah. I mean, I knew that's what I wanted to do. I mean, that was what I wanted to do really from the time I was in, like, 6th or 7th grade. I mean, I kind of said, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. But, you know, people, I mean, my dad, I mean, sat me down and tried to explain to me, you know, there weren't that many of those jobs. You know, and you know how many guys out there, how many people out there are thinking exactly what you're thinking, that that's what they want to do, too? You know how tough the competition's going to be? You know how remote the chances are? And I did, but I still, you know, it didn't change my mind. I mean, this is what I wanted to do. I really felt that this was what I was meant to do. And so I was just going to go for it, you know, and if it didn't work, it didn't work. And then, okay, then I'll go sell cars or whatever. But, I really wanted to try this and try and make a go of it. You know, here we are, Steve. I mean, 53 years later, I'm still doing it. And the thing is, I love it just as much now as I did when I started.
Exactly. Now, here's the linkage to Tommy. Now, I'm saying this from a perspective. Now, I never saw Tommy McDonald play college. I wasn't born then. But I did see Tommy McDonald play with the Eagles.
Right.
Look, here's the bottom line. All right? You and I both know in the combine world today, too short, too small, whatever, a lot of twos put in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yet he's in the Hall of Fame. Have you ever thought about the parallels about, hey, Ray, you know, there aren't many people that make it. This is hard to get into. Maybe you ought to do something else. And he probably heard the same thing.
Sure. I mean, it really is a story about beating the odds. And in that sense, we both did. You know, and I mean, you're talking about today's combine world, how everybody is measured by the tape measure and the stopwatch, and that's really true. But that was even true in the 50s. You know, I mean, people, you know, Tommy, when he came out of high school, he broke all the scoring records in New Mexico where he grew up, and most of the colleges all said, "Now you're too small." His mother wanted him to go to Notre Dame, and Frank Leahy, he said, "Now he's too small." So he went to Oklahoma and becomes an All-American on a team that didn't lose a game. He didn't lose a game his entire college career. He graduated Oklahoma. Yeah. He's 31-0. Then he comes to the NFL, and all the scouts look at him and say, "Now he's too small." You know, and so the Eagles grab him in the third round, and he comes in, and within 3 years, he's the best receiver in football and helps him win a world championship in 1960. And by the time he finished his pro career, he was sixth all-time in catches, he was fourth all-time in yardage, and he was second all-time in touchdowns. I mean, he was an all-time great player and overcame odds every step of the way.
That's okay. The guy I work with every Saturday for the past 25 years was just heard his name on radio, where a guy going after the Steelers job said he would have been a backup special teams guy. So,
I know. That's a very good example. I mean, as great a player as Jack was, and a great player all through his college career. Yeah, I was covering the NFL in the early 70s, and I heard the scouts, and I loved them. I saw him play at Penn State, and I said, "This guy's a great player, and he's going to be a great pro. There's no question in my mind." And I tell the scout, "Nah, he's too small. Nah, he's too small. He can't play." But that's the beauty of the whole thing. I mean, that to me is I watch the NFL draft with a smile on my face every year, because every year you have the pundits, and every year you have the experts and the draft nicks, and they have all the answers, right? They know every 40 time, they know every vertical jump, they have all the answers about who's going to make it and who's not. And in the end, they're wrong, just the same as the rest of us are wrong. As Seth Joyner has often said to me, and Seth Joyner, you know, eighth round draft pick, became a great player. Seth always says, there's no instrument that's been made yet that can measure the human heart. And that is so true. I mean, it borders on cliche, but it's absolutely true. I mean, you can measure the height, you can time them in the 40, you can do all of that stuff, but you can't look inside the guy. You don't find that out till you put him on the field and let him play. And the great ones, that's where they'll show themselves.
And there's also that, to be a lot of the great ones, quote, know how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy was what, 5'9", 170, somewhere in that neighborhood?
5'9", yeah. They listed him at 5'11", 185, but he was actually 5'9", 170, and less than that at Oklahoma.
Right. Well, you have to know how to play. What were a couple of areas where you can tell us where Tommy McDonald, not just with athleticism, but with his brain, made plays?
Well, Norm Van Brocklin and Sonny Jurgensen, who were his two quarterbacks in Philadelphia, both over time said that that he had the best hands of any receiver they ever played with. Yeah. And I can say this as someone who saw every game he played as an Eagle. And this is I'm not this is no exaggeration, and this is not a figure of speech. I never saw him in his all his time with the Eagles ever drop a pass. I mean, zero. Never. Mm-hmm. Never happened. If the ball hit him in the hands, it was caught. Or as he used to say, that's leather in my pocket, was how he used to put it. Mm-hmm. He never dropped a pass. And the other thing that was that he ran great patterns. You know, and this was back in the 50s into the 60s, an era when defenders could pretty much do whatever they wanted to do to a receiver. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea they talk about press coverage now. I mean, that's nothing compared to what it was like trying to get off the line of scrimmage in the 50s. I mean, you had defensive backs that were just beating guys up and literally throwing them on the ground, not letting them get off the line of scrimmage. And yet Tommy was so quick and so elusive and also so tough. I mean, pound for pound, a tremendously tough player, that he just fought right through it. And when other guys were afraid to go across the middle, and believe me, going across the middle in those days, you were really taking your life in your hands. That was his favorite pattern. I mean, that 15-yard dig, that quick slant across the middle, that was his favorite route, and nobody ran it better. And to this day, I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody run it better.
There was no, quote, 5-yard contact area back when Tommy played.
Oh, no, there was not. I think the most memorable quote that followed him throughout his career, and Tommy said this right up to the day he passed, was the greatest compliment he ever received, was the 1960 championship game. The Eagles beat the Green Bay Packers at Franklin Field, 17-13. It was the only postseason game Lombardi ever lost.
Right.
And after the game was over, Lombardi said to the reporters, and I found the quote in the paper, and I repeated it to Tommy, and he said, yeah, I know, it's the greatest compliment I ever received. Lombardi told the reporters, if I had 11 Tommy McDonalds, I'd win the championship every year, was what Lombardi said. And Tommy said, you could take all of my honors, all of my plaques, all of my trophies, all of that stuff, and you can have all of that. Just give me that quote. Just give me that quote, and that's enough. Coming from Lombardi, getting that kind of respect from a guy like Lombardi, Tommy always said was the highest honor he ever received.
It's interesting that sometimes people will meet a figure they consider to be larger than life. It doesn't always happen this way, but they'll walk away disappointed. Right? Now, some people you meet, they're larger than life, and they meet every expectation.
Sure.
Well, what was it about Tommy McDonald where not only did you connect, but to you he's a larger-than-life figure that looked at you and made you feel like you were larger than life?
Yeah, true. The thing was, a couple minutes ago, you really put your finger on it when you talked about how small he was. Because even in that era of pro football, even in the 1950s, he was small. I mean, he'd be like super small today. But even in the 50s, he was small. He was just little. And I remember waiting outside the locker room in Hershey, waiting for him to come out to go to practice that day. And I was standing there waiting for his waiting to get his autograph. And the thing that struck me was when he came out the door. Now I'm a 10-year-old kid, right? I'm like a sixth grader.
Yeah.
I'm a 10-year-old kid standing there with my autograph book. I swear he didn't look any bigger than I did, and he didn't look any older than I did. I mean, he was so small, and he was so youthful-looking, with the short-cropped blonde hair and the baby face. I couldn't believe it. But I think that that's one of the reasons why not just me, but so many kids my age, so many little kids just identified with him. I mean, you knew there were great players. I mean, you knew Van Brocklin was a great player. You knew Bednarik was a great player. I mean, there were great players on that team. But as a 10-year-old kid, it was hard to identify with them because they looked like grown men. You know, Tommy McDonald looked like you. Tommy McDonald looked like the guys you were playing with in the schoolyard. Mm-hmm. So every kid identified with Tommy McDonald because in our mind we were Tommy McDonald. The only thing that was different and the great advantage I had was I actually got to meet him. My parents were such big fans that we actually drove to Hershey from Philadelphia and we actually went to the practices. And back then, there were no ropes, there were no fences, there were no security guards. I mean, you could like stand right at the door and wait for your guy to come out. So that was where I met Tommy. And he just put his arm around me, handed me his helmet, put his arm around me and said, come on, let's take a walk. And that was how it all started. And, in 1998, it wound up with both of us standing there at the Hall of Fame. Amazing story. And that's, you asked me, how did it become a play? It was just that. It was just such a crazy, wild, wonderful story that I said, I have to write this. I have to share this with people because it's just too good. It's too good not to share.
It's not just another football story. It's a story that surrounds football. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And you do these Q&A sessions. What's the best question you ever had in the Q&A session about the play?
A lot of them, Steve, but one of the ones that's come up several times, and it's a really good question. The first time somebody asked me it, I thought, oh, that's really good. I wasn't prepared for that. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good question. It was a young guy who had never seen Tommy play, but he had seen the play now, and now he was really intrigued, and he wanted to know more. And he said, just for my frame of reference, I've never seen, I don't remember football back then. I only see the game today. Who is Tommy McDonald? How would you compare Tommy? How would you express Tommy McDonald in contemporary terms? Who is he like? You know, who can I, in my mind's eye, trying to get a picture of this guy? Who would I envision? And what I said was, if you took Brian Dawkins' heart mm-hmm. and you put it in DeSean Jackson's body, yeah. you'd have Tommy McDonald. And that's really kind of what it was. I mean, you know, what DeSean Jackson brought to the Eagles and what he brought to the NFL in terms of that game-breaking explosiveness. I mean, every time he touched the ball, he had a chance to score a touchdown, and was always making the big play at the big moment. That kind of talent, combined with the incredible, indomitable will that Brian Dawkins brought to the field, you put the two of those together, and you have a pretty good approximation of Tommy McDonald.
And while the Eagles and everybody else is in training camp, this will be in Hershey, August 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. We've got a different host each of the nights to handle the Q&A. So we got Ross Tucker the first night. We got Dennis Owens from the Harrisburg TV anchor is going to do it the second night. And on the final day, the Saturday afternoon matinee, Ernie Accorsi is going to do it. So it's going to be a great run, and it's such a thrill for me, and really the cast too. I mean, we've had all the same actors since we started, and for all of us to be bringing this back to Hershey, where we know it all started. In the theater is in the building that was actually the players' dormitory back in the 1950s. Yeah. I mean, to have all of this connect this summer is something I know we're all looking forward to.
In fact, it's right out there in that corner where you probably first met him, right?
Yep. It's all right there. And, you know, the beauty of it, and one of the things I feel best about, Steve, is the fact that Tommy lived to see it. You know, Tommy actually got to see the play. He came with his wife, the kids, the grandchildren, and they came to see the play. And, you know, we've had a lot of people come and see it, and a lot of people enjoy it, but nobody enjoyed it as much as he did. just seeing him in the audience and just seeing him laugh and point at the stage and say, yeah, that's it. I remember that. I mean, to see how much he enjoyed it was, to me, that's the best part of the whole experience. It has really been a wonderful, wonderful ride.
Absolute pleasure to spend any time with you. This is another great, I mean, I know this is 6-7 years, but it's just great you've been able to do this. So congratulations on its success.
Thank you, Steve. And when it rolls into Hershey, I hope you and Matt are able to get down there and catch a performance. I think you'd really like it.
I would love to. Thank you so much for the invitation. We appreciate that.
All right, Steve. You take care. Talk to you anytime.
Ray Dinninger, the legendary one. It's great to, I think, for people to see a great human interest story about friendship, loyalty, that happens to, by the way, to surround football. And that is terrific. And it's called Tommy and Me. We were going to write a play called The Suit and Me. But we didn't want to write it. No.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
It's well written, by the way. What do you say we go down? We should go down there for that, Matt.
I would definitely be down for that. I want to see this play very badly.
Yeah. I think I think it just sounds awesome.
I smell a road trip to Chocolate Town.
There we go. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Nate Bauer next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.